this shall be the covenant that I will
make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Everything that we know about God, that we understand about God, has its roots in Revelation. It comes from God Himself being willing to reveal that portion of Himself to us that He wants us to know, to see, and understand. If there are things that you understand, now I'm not talking about things that you just have knowledge of, but if there are things that you understand about God, it comes from Him revealing that to you. It comes from Him being willing to open Himself, which is really a beautiful, precious gift, that the one that spoke everything into existence would condescend to reveal Himself to that portion of His creation that is able to make judgments and discern. And it's a beautiful opportunity that you and I have to have a close relationship with Him. We spoke this morning concerning modesty and how we develop and arrive at the place where we understand what modesty is. It is by developing that deep, close, intimate relationship with the Lord so that our first purpose and only purpose is to please Him. And when we have that as our goal and our aim, to do those things that are pleasing to Him, everything else is going to fall into its proper order. If that's our first goal, to please Him. And how do we know how to please Him? Well, the only way that we can really know how to please Him is to find out what does not please Him. If we just go along willy-nilly through life with no correction, no instruction, no admonishment along the way, we'll never really understand what the boundaries are. We do that with our children. We have to do that with our companions. We have to be able to communicate to them when something comes up in the relationship between husband and wife. We have to be able to communicate to them and let them know, this area makes me uneasy. Now, it's not always easy to approach those areas and say, what you did hurt me. And I'm going to ask you, please don't do that anymore. And when we do those kinds of things and we come at it from the right standpoint, then they understand what I just did is unacceptable to my companion, so I'm going to step back from that. We try to have an understanding of those things and we realize that when we're doing that with the Lord and the Lord is doing that with us, we have this opportunity to know what things that are acceptable to Him, what pleases Him, and what things do not. That's a real blessing. We get that through Revelation. Not the book of Revelations, but through Revelation, God revealing Himself to His creation. So He says, I reveal part of myself to my creation, to the house of Israel and Judah. When I gave to Moses the commandments, I gave him the law, I gave him that covenant. I told him what I wanted, I told him what was acceptable to me, what was unacceptable to me. It was laws and ordinances. He says, and they broke it. They didn't follow it. Even though I was a husband to them, even though I led them out of that land of Egypt, they still didn't take proper notice of what had happened, what I had done for them, and they didn't keep my commandments. And then he says in verse 33, after those days, saith the Lord. After those days is referring to the time when God's ultimate revelation to humanity would come through Jesus Christ, His Son. The Lord sent, the Lord allowed there to be that relationship with God the Father, allowing the Son to come down to this earth. Jesus said very clearly, the words that I speak, the things that I say, they're not my own. They come from my Father. I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me. So after those days is referring to Jesus having assumed that body that was prepared for Him, come down to this earth in form of human, laid down His life for the redemption of the world, souls, your soul and mine, And then after that, having ascended on high, and after that, having sent, as He promised to the disciples and the apostles, having sent the Holy Spirit, that animating force of God that opens in our hearts and minds and reveals where God reveals Himself to us. God does not come down here in human form anymore and sit with you, talk to you, ride with you. He doesn't chastise you, tell you what you ought and ought not to do. What He does is through His Spirit, dealing with the faculties of the human mind and the Spirit that He put within us, enables us to have that type of understanding and relationship with the Lord. It is vital. In order for us to have a real relationship with Him, an understanding, a revelation relationship with Him, it is vital for us to seek the infilling of God's Holy Spirit. That's a vital point. Without that, we're walking along empty and dry. We can be saved, but I would say it's rather reckless to continue walking alone in the plan of salvation and not seeking for the infilling of God's life-giving Spirit. It is life to us. So He says, after those days, I will put My law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be My people. The only way that that can take place is for us to invite Him in. He has to be invited in my heart. For Him to be able to pin His desires and His will in my life, in my heart, I have to open that to Him. I have to be willing to let Him have that place and make His abode within me. Then I open myself to the opportunity and the beautiful privilege of having the God of all creation reveal Himself to me. That is valuable. I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12. Verse 5, beginning. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. I said that the only way that we can know what pleases and displeases the Lord is to be willing to walk with Him and accept those real close encounters when we have those real deep, spiritual, intimate encounters with the Lord, and to also be willing to stay in there when the rebukes come, when the chastisement comes. If all I want to do is when the chastisement comes is fly, then I'll never really be able to embrace the fullness of God's love and relationship desire that He has with me. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Why? For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, you hear these words? If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's a bad place to be. To have no one care enough for you to give you correction when correction is needed. Correction doesn't come from God just out of a desire to have authority and power. Correction comes from God out of a desire to build a deeper, stronger relationship. These words that the writer put down here in Hebrews are beautiful words. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. These are beautiful words that the Father is saying, I want you to be as my children. All right? Furthermore, verse 9, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Christ's mind and will must always be respected above our own. His must be first in our lives. Some of our actions and attitudes and things that have not been in our lives must start up and be active. Some of the things that have been alive and active must cease. The Lord sees that, and He knows how to temper those things that are active and working in our lives. He knows how to correct us in such a manner that we know that those things need to be put aside. And He knows how to cause there to be those things that are inactive in our lives to be fanned so that they can flame and have work, energy, fire, heat behind them. Something that causes there to be an action on my part and an action on His part. It's a beautiful relationship that we can have with the Lord. I'm talking about maybe advancement or growth, learning how to apply the Word, learning how to live for Him. Instead of just trying to deal with the laws and the ordinances and the do's and the don'ts, to find that place with Him where I know what He accepts from me, where I know what His Word requires of me, where I know those things that I can expect from Him. There's not any kind of way that I can express this that I can really draw out, but I'm thinking of this years and years ago. It was back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, when I was doing mechanic work for a living. I was being introduced to different things at different levels in my career there. I had certification for brake repair and front end alignment and suspension repair. I had certification for those areas, but there were other things that I did. And there were things that I didn't know how to do. And I remember being sent to school to learn how to understand the principles of certain parts of an automobile. One of them was the air conditioning system. Honestly, today, the air conditioning system on an automobile is absolutely simple. There are very few moving components on an automotive air conditioning system today. About the only thing in that system that is a moving component is the compressor that turns driven by a belt. That's about the only moving component on an automotive air conditioning system today. Then, you had something called a POA valve, pilot-operated absolute, an expansion valve. You had orifice tubes. Some of them may still have an orifice tube today. All of those things were there to regulate pressures and temperatures. And you had little desiccant bags inside of an evaporator housing. If that little desiccant bag broke, then it scattered stuff throughout the system that would stop up an expansion valve or stop up a POA valve or stop up an orifice tube, get that trash into an air conditioning compressor. And the diagnosis of those kinds of things, trying to understand how to diagnose all of these little things that could happen, was way above my head. I'm sitting there in a class with a man that could go through the textbook and show you pictures on the wall and tell you everything about it. And I'm sure he had worked on many of them because he talked proficiently. He had education. It wasn't something that he had never experienced. He understood it. I'm sitting there with my eyes glazed over. I'm sitting there because Chrysler has this type of valve. General Motors has this type of valve. Ford has this type of valve. And all of your other foreign vehicles chunked into the mix have this one and this one and this one and this one. And I'm sitting here trying to take all of this in. He understands the principle of it, knows how it all works. But when you understand the principle behind it, what it's supposed to do, then it makes it so much easier to get into what is supposed to happen. But if you get bogged down and they're trying to figure out all the little intricate details of Toyota, Mitsubishi, Nissan, Ford, GM, Pontiac, Cadillac, Dodge, Chrysler, Plymouth, all, if you start trying to get into all those little nitty-gritty details, you know what happens? You can't see the forest for all the trees. Sometimes that's what happens to us in our efforts to try to serve the Lord. We get so bogged down in all the little bitty things that we lose sight of the big picture. That God, in His love, in His mercy, is revealing Himself to us and trying to help us to see and understand that He's got it all under control. All of these other things that you and I think we must know, that I must understand, those things fall into their proper order and proper place. Now there came a time when I left the classroom and I went back to the shop, and the first one that came in, guess who they send the first air conditioning job to, that came in the shop after school? Me. Why? He's been to school. Do you know everything just because you went to school? Do you know everything just because you graduated from school? Do you know how to do all these things just because you went there? I did not. I had to learn. I had to get down in the trenches, work on situations, work on things that I had no clue what it was I was doing, trying to figure out where my problem was, where my error was. Time was money, working on commission. If you don't log a job, you don't get paid. The more jobs you can log, the more you get paid. And if you get stumped for several hours on a job, that clock just keeps turning to the right. And while you're stuck on this job, guess what's going on with the other guys? Brake job, front-end alignment, suspension work, another brake job, a tune-up, another front-end alignment. Guess where my certification is? Brakes and front ends. Guess where the money's being made? Brakes and front ends. Guess where I am? Stuck. Stuck. But you know, after a while, when you work on it long enough, when you start dealing with it long enough, when you start seeing enough of these things coming in back and forth, you start learning little tricks of the trade. You start learning, this is what happens when this takes place. This is what's going on when I see this. When I see ice on this side of the line and no ice on this side of the line, then I know there's an obstruction here. I know that the pressure is way lower on this side than it is on this side. So I know there's a problem right here, right here. There's an obstruction right here. You start learning those kinds of things. It is that same way, folks, when we're working and serving the Lord. As we work in serving the Lord, we find out with things. He treats us with love. He knows that we're not capable of understanding it all in one fell swoop. When I first got saved, it didn't all fall on me in one big lump. When I first went to the altar to be sanctified, it didn't all fall on me with one big lump. I doubt it did you either. I doubt that you understood it all when at first you went to that altar and said, Lord, I want to give my heart to You and I want Your Holy Spirit to dwell within me. And I want You, Lord, I want to sanctify my life to You. I want to just give myself to You and consecrate it all. Did you understand it all? I doubt it seriously. I see some heads nodding back and forth saying, no, I didn't. You're right, you didn't. And what does the Scripture say there in the book of Hebrews? You've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. How beautiful it is, folks, to know that there is One who is willing to lead us and teach us. Now, I can't tell you the mind of the service manager of that shop, except I do believe this, that he was old enough and experienced enough to know that this young guy, green out of school, that he put this job on, didn't have any idea what it was, and probably stepped around the corner, smiling and grinning, saying, he'll figure it out. And I know it's costing him some time. I know it's not easy for him, and I know he's probably frustrated with it. And I'm going to get a little frustrated if it takes him much longer. But I know that he's probably saying, and at some point, it'll click. It'll click. And when it does, I'll have another man in the shop that I can rely on to do this kind of work. Because guess what? The other two guys? Vacation? Sick? Injury? There came a day when the service manager quit. One of the mechanics became service manager. That put us with two men turning wrenches in the shop. One of the men that was turning wrenches beside me went out for surgery for a back injury. Guess who was left turning wrenches? Me. Guess who was lost? Me. I remember the two men that helped me the most. I remember struggling with things, working with things, trying to understand things. So much to be thrown. So much out there to understand. And I remember using two words, I can't. I can't. I can't. Until one day one of these guys said, Mike, if I hear you say I can't one more time, said, don't say you can't. You can. If you need help, you come tell me. I'll come help you. You can. I thought, I believe I need to stand up and take notice here. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Today, still, those two men have a relationship with them. I don't get to see them very often. But I still appreciate so much what they helped me with and what they did. It meant so much. And so it is when we're working with the Lord and working with one another. When we're dealing with these things of the Word of God, these principles that we're talking about this evening, the Lord wants to impart to us not just the laws, not just the ordinances, not just the textbook information, not just the letter of the law. He wants us to be able to understand, get down in there and figure out how it works. Not say I can't, but get down in there with the Lord and figure out how it works. And when He says, stop saying I can't, and roll up your sleeves and tackle this, you can, through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In my own power? No. But through Christ who died for me, after those days, the Lord said, after those days, saith the Lord, I will, after those days, Christ taking on human form, Christ teaching the disciples and the apostles, Christ being crucified, Christ resurrecting from the dead, Christ ascending back to the Father, Christ sending the Holy Spirit to mankind, so that we, after those days, folks, we have all of the tools that we need in the arsenal. Everything is there. We have to exercise. We have to be willing to make use of those things. So when you find yourself in that place where you feel you're struggling, may I encourage you, stop struggling. Step back a little bit. Take notice of what it is that you're dealing with. Take notice what it is that you're working with. And ask the Lord if He would be pleased to reveal it to you, help you understand it. Ask the Lord if He'd be willing to do that. Now, it's been a long time ago that I did that for a living. I'd hate to think I had to go back to it today. Oh, I could enjoy it. But things have changed so much since then. Just about have to have a technology degree in computer science to be able to get in there and work on these things now, because everything in it is computer operated. But here's what I found out. What I have found out is, once again, if you understand the basics and you understand the principles of how it's all supposed to work, it's really not that difficult. It's really not. It used to be so technical, so many pieces, so many moving parts. It's all changed now. There's not that many moving parts. I remember Brother Ed Wilson making comment one time concerning folks who have been highly educated but had no working knowledge of the thing that they're working with, that they're educated about. He said there are people in foreign countries who are so educated technologically, but the textbook information, the equipment he mentioned was with a John Deere tractor. They can tell you every part on it. They can tell you every moving part on it. They can talk to you about those kinds of things, but they've never seen one. Never put their hands on one. Everything they know about it is from the book. Can I tell you something, folks? This book is a beautiful book. It's the roadmap to heaven. But if all that you know about God and all that you know about living life just comes from the pages of the book, you're going to miss out on some things. You could understand what's in the book, but you've got to live life. You've got to be willing to get down in the trenches and live life. And sometimes life gets a little bit difficult. Sometimes we find dealing with situations, dealing with one another, gets a little bit difficult. And when we find ourselves in those kind of places, is that time I'm quitting. I can't. Close up my box and go home. Is that what the Lord wants us to do? No. He wants us to stay in it and remember, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. I'd like to turn to the book of John. Chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus. The world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to do what? Become the sons of God. That is a vital component, folks. If we're sons of God, then we have every expectation that if there's going to be, if an earthly father does his job correctly, his children, his son, gains confidence about his status in life. And if this is true of our earthly sons and fathers, how much more is it true of our relationship with God? Because, see, even in our best, we make blunders and mistakes in dealing with our children, sons and daughters. We do make those blunders. But God doesn't. We chasten, we correct after what we understand, what we think we see, what we think we have heard, what we perceive to be the situation. Susie and Johnny had a big fuss, and we don't know what took place, and we start interrogating them and asking them questions. Susie said, "He snatched that toy from me." Johnny said, "I did not." She put it down and walked away from it. And I picked it up to play with it, and she pitched a fit. And you ask these kinds of questions, you're sitting there as a parent trying to figure out just what did take place. Do we know all the time? No. God knows. With you and me, God knows. And He knows how to help us to see what it is He wants from us. I want you to be encouraged this evening, folks. If we love our children, if we love our family, and we try to do everything that we can to teach them and help them to be secure in their relationship in the home and in the family, do we not have confidence that God's going to do the same with us? Can we not have confidence that He's going to do it? If we have patience, if we have patience with our family, with our children, when we tell them there's a project that needs to be done, and we know that they don't fully understand how to do it. Just a little aside here. It's been a long time ago now, but when my son was growing up there at home, when he was old enough to start doing projects around the house, old enough to start doing some things, maybe mowing some grass or things like that, then it was time to let him start. And if he had a problem, if something broke, I'd say, son, try to figure it out if you can. If you can't, call me. Well, the phone would ring once in a while. He didn't know what to do. You know, don't we all have little pieces of equipment here and there that have their quirks, and we know just what it takes to make it work. We know what you need to turn, what you need to twist. If you just do this, it'll be fine. And do we expect everybody else to know that? No. So he would call, and I'd say, well, look, tell me what it did. And he'd tell me, well, I said, okay, here, go do this. Go do this. And you do that, and it works. Do you know what that does? It builds confidence. It builds confidence, one, in if I call him, then he can tell me what to do to fix it. And if I can get it fixed, when he gets home, I got the job done. That's going to make him pleased. Folks, it's the same principle with our Heavenly Father. If I don't know what happened and I don't know what to do to fix it, who do I call? I get on my knees before my Lord and say, Lord, I really don't know what to do with this. I am just not sure what it's going to take to fix this. And He can tell us. Thank God He can tell us. He knows. And He has long suffering and patience. And you know what that does? That builds our confidence in Him. That the next time I have a situation that I'm not sure what to do with it, I can go to my Father. And I can talk to Him. And I can get the answers I need. You pray for me. Let's pray for one another. May God help us to be encouraged to follow close with the Lord. He wants you to have that relationship where He can treat us as sons and daughters. He wants to be our Father. Amen.